Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to this Sunday school lesson. Take your Bibles with me, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 will be our text this morning as we look at a very important truth found here in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, let me encourage you. We live in exciting days and changing times. Encourage you to do a couple things. Continue to reach out to people. Continue to check on them. Send them words of encouragement. Make sure you are staying involved in people's life. Number two, continue to keep an eye out on our website. I know our deacons have been working very hard at figuring out when and how to open the doors back up to our church. In light of everything that's going on, just because the safe-at-home order has been lifted doesn't mean it's necessarily safe yet. And there are some hurdles that we need to overcome and some challenges that we need to figure out, some protocol, so that way we can make sure that we're safe when we do reopen the church to protect you. And so encourage you to pray for our deacons. They have a lot of very difficult, tough decisions to make, none of which can be done easily. There are no, as soon as this happens and this happens, open the door, everyone comes back in. It will be a gradual process, I'm sure. And so be in prayer for them. Again, if you have any questions during this time, make sure you get a hold of them. But continue to watch our website. Continue to watch the prayer requests that are on there. Continue to keep your ears open to what is going on. Joshua chapter 1 is where we are. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to have you follow along as I read one of my favorite books. I've got a lot of favorite books, but this is definitely one of them, especially this chapter. Joshua chapter number 1, look with me at verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this Sunday school lesson. Lord, I thank you for the truth that is contained here in this passage. And Lord, I do ask that you would minister to our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with courage. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our faith. And Lord, may we be victorious in these very difficult days in which we live. And we'll thank you so much for it. Lord, I pray for the blessing on the reading and now the preaching. Give me liberty, give me freedom, give me boldness. Lord, I do ask that you would direct my thoughts and my words so that they may be pleasing in your sight. And we'll thank you for it. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Joshua is a book all about victory. It's not victory through superiority, but this is an incredible type of victory. As you read through the book of Joshua, it's not our army's bigger and our army's stronger and we're smarter, we're wiser, but this is a victory that you and I can have. It's a victory through surrender. surrender to the presence of God, surrender to the promises of God, and to surrender to the provision of God. Surrender. In this book, we learn how to be victorious. We learn how to have success. The only place in the Bible this word is mentioned, success, is found in surrender, when we surrender. Deuteronomy, the book right before Joshua, those two have divisions between them, but are written more like a part one and a part two of the same story. In Deuteronomy, the children of Israel fail to live by faith, so they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now the generation that would not obey God, now the generation that refused to obey God is dead. It was a death march, a 40-year death march. A new leader has arrived. Still, the obstacle and barrier of disobedience and disbelief remain. You would think after 40 years, the children of Israel would have figured it out, but there's still that obstacle there. What will they do when faced with an apparent impossibility? Let me ask you, what will you do? What will you do when you're faced with an impossibility, when you're faced with a heavy burden that you don't think that you can handle, when you're faced with difficulties that you don't want to be faced with? What do you do? There are many songs that are loved by children that sing about going across Jordan's stormy banks, Canaan land. It speaks as though this land is heaven. But the promised land for believers, for Christians, for those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ right now is walking in godliness and righteousness with the Lord here on this planet. The promised land for believers right now is walking in godliness and righteousness, living a completely surrendered and obedient life while we're here on this planet. Every time the Israelites decided to not walk how and where and when God told them, they wandered aimlessly or found themselves in slavery. You follow the nation of Israel. You know their history. You know the stories. You know what happened. God made them a promise, and they said, okay, and they went a different direction. They didn't heed his warnings. They weren't obedient to his commands, and they found themselves in trouble each and every time. Know this and hear this very clearly this morning. Every time you and I step away from God, it will always, always, always lead to barrenness. When you and I turn our back on God, when we hit the cruise button on our relationship with Him, it will always lead you to barrenness. I know we've been away from each other, not being able to gather inside this church. I know it's easy for you to stay home and watch these messages, and you're thinking, man, I'm doing okay. But be careful. Because every time we step away from God's commands, and by the way, what are God's commands in regards to our church? That we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That you and I are to continue to give God our time, our talent, and our treasures. Those are our commands. Sometimes it's easy, you know, it's Sunday night, I'm just going to coast when the doors open back up, and I'm going to stay home. Wednesday night, man, I've got work all day, it's hard to get home and get there on time, and we got to deal with food and all of that stuff. I'm here to tell you, when you start hitting cruise control, when you say, you know what, it's not really for me, I'm not sure I want to get up for Sunday school. I'm not sure I want to do this. I'm not sure I want to help out in this way. I'm not sure I want to serve any longer. When we hit cruise control, it will always, always, always lead to barrenness. You will find that out. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says this, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are what are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Listen, God wants his children to experience what Deuteronomy 11, 21 talks about as the days of heaven upon earth. Joshua is a wonderful illustration of how we can face difficult days, how we can face sin, how we can face failure and defeat, how we can face saying goodbye to the old life of disobedience to God's will and step into the victorious presence and rest of God. Paul teaches us these truths in the book of Ephesians, a wonderful book, New Testament equivalent. Joshua tells the story of how it can be a reality in Joshua. God had given them the land, but the people still had to step forward in faith and obedience to possess what God had given them. You know, far too many Christians live as paupers because they refuse to let go of what this world has to offer. They refuse to open their hands to what God wants to give them. They refuse to walk in obedience. They choose the comfortable. They choose the convenient. They choose that which is easy, not that which is messy. First thing I want you to see this morning is God's promise of victory. I'm here to tell you it's for you. It's for me this morning, God's promise of victory, the promise of God's presence in your daily life. Look at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Listen, Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua, I'm going to be there no matter where you go. I'm going to be there. It's the same promise that was given to Moses. Joshua has taken up the leadership mantle, and God speaks to him. Understand that you have to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 to find God giving the promise of the land to Abraham. Even though Moses is dead, God's work is not. Know this, every single person is replaceable. It is never the workers that are important. It is always the work. It's not us that's important, it's him. It is our job to make sure that he is increasing and we are decreasing. Joshua has already proved his skill in warfare. He was the leader of the Israelite army when they defeated the Amalekites. Raw ability and gifting, know this, is never enough when we face spiritual barriers. God promises not only Joshua, but us, that he will be with us. God doesn't only promise to be with us, he promises to never leave us. The Hebrew word used here is a word which means slacken. God's saying, I will not let loose of you. I won't drop you. I will never, ever, ever let you go. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we trust Him and Him alone for salvation, God gets a grip of us. He grips our hearts. He grips our heads. That is what brings victory, walking through this life, knowing God has hold of us. He places us there in the palm of his hand, and he says, no man is able to pluck us out of his hand. Listen, salvation is not about us earning our way to God. It's about God giving us what we don't deserve in a free gift of salvation. And when we receive it, since it's not of us, since it's all of him, not only does he do the saving, but he also does the keeping. Aren't you thankful for that? Because if I could lose it, I would. I know me. I know my heart. It's desperately wicked. There's so much wickedness in there that I can't even understand. And so if I had any part in keeping my salvation, it'd be lost. And so would yours, wouldn't it? That's why Jesus tells us that we are to confess our sins. And every time we do, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, it's him who saves us. It's him who keeps us. It's all about him. It's about his will. It's about his mission for us. It's about him. We need to get that through our minds. We need to get that into our heart. It's not about you. It's all about him. God had promised the land to the descendants of Abraham, and now it's going to become a reality. God had promised his presence for us as we move forward with his mission. He won't leave us. We are to be about the mission of making disciples. If disciples are not coming from Bible Baptist Church, then God will remove his presence from the body. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5 talks about that. One Bible commentator said it this way: God didn't explain to Joshua how we would accomplish these things because God's people live on promises, not explanations. With God's presence comes God's providing for our every need. My God shall supply all our needs, not our wants, not our desires. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about him. The promise of God's providing in our daily life. Look at verse number 1. Of this chapter. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord said unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Look down to verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And God promised to give them the land. However, you have to understand what that implies. All the weapons, all the wagons, all the resources they would need would be included in providing for them to take the land. God said, I will give. God continues to promise to give as we continue to live. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us, hear this, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. But notice, he has given us everything we need, everything you need to live a godly life. How do we do these things when we start a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's all found in that relationship with Jesus Christ. As a child of God, he has given to us. You have the ability, because of who resides within you, because of what God has given you, he has given to you all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to grow in the grace and knowledge of who he is. He has supplied it. Just like, hey, Israel, the land is yours. Okay, God, how are we supposed to take it? He said, well, you figure that out. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say, well, you better figure it out. You better get your army. You better start training. He said, no. You come with me, and I will give it to you. I'll make a way. How do we get across the Jordan? God says, I've got it taken care of. Just go. And they did, and they walked across again on dry land. They get to Jericho. How are we going to take Jericho? God says, listen, I've got it. I'm already providing for you, and I will continue to do. I have provided, I will provide, and I always will provide, because that is the promise that I have given. I will supply your every need. Let me ask you, what do you need today? I'm here to tell you, God is the supplier of that. God, not your spouse, not your kids, not your job, not a pastor, not a church, God will meet your needs. The second thing I want you to see this morning from our text in the book of Joshua is this: God's principles for victory. First, God's promise of victory, and second is God's principles for victory. First thing, under God's principles for victory, Joshua 1:9, we need to learn who God is. The Lord your God. What is the main purpose of the Bible? The Bible was given to us to reveal who God is and that He paid for our sins in the person of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 29:13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." We are to do what it says. We are to go where it tells us. What we are to do and where we are to head is dependent on who God is. Listen, the best thing that you and I can do right now is to learn who God is. We are to grow in our knowledge of Him. Remember Paul? Paul in the New Testament was Saul. Had a tremendous understanding of the Word of God. Had a tremendous knowledge. Probably memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. Had it memorized by heart. Paul said, and his desire was that I may know Him. I desperately long to know God. Him crucified, buried, and risen again. You want to be victorious? Get a hold of who God is. Learn who He is, and then to listen to what He says. Why do so many people seek out horoscopes? We need a life coach. We talk to the gurus and the experts. I'm here to tell you, God desires to speak to you personally. God wants to speak, and He often does in that still, small voice, if we will just listen. When God speaks to you, know this, it brings life. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." He tells us in chapter 1, verse 8, to meditate on this book of the law. Understood in Joshua's day was the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. We can understand that to mean the entire revelation He gives us, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. What does God give us in His Word? He gives us instruction. He gives us correction. He gives us encouragement. He gives us warning. He gives us hope. And we find truth. And what are we to do with that? We are to meditate on it. We are to memorize it. We are to dig in and understand it and study it. The Hebrew word for meditate means literally to mutter it during our day. The picture is of a cow chewing its cud. Cows have multiple stomachs, and what it does is it'll take some food and chew it and swallow it and then bring it back up. Hope you had breakfast this morning. And chew it some more, and swallow it again, and then do what? Bring it back up, chew it. Why? Because it's getting all the nutrients out of it. It is meditating on it. It is muttering it over and over and over and trying to make it become part of who we are. As it always comes back to Adam and Eve, bad things happen when we don't listen to what God says. God wants us to learn who He is, listen to what He says, and then to live how He tells us. God's commands are God's enablements for those who obey Him by faith. Listen, the book is not, our Bible is not a book of suggestions. God has given us commands. Why? Why? I can't do this. And He just wants to rip all the fun out of life. No. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. And because he created us, and because he knows what's going on, because he knows the rules, he knows you, and he knows me, he has set up some parameters so that you and I can enjoy the life that God has given to us, so that we can have hope, so that we can be encouraged, so that we can have the abundant life. That's what he wants for you, and that's what he wants for me. And in order to experience that, we must do what he says. The third thing I want you to see, and this will be our last one this morning from this book, is our practice of victory. We saw God's promise of victory and his principle. Now it comes to the practical aspect of it, our practice of victory. Chapter 1, verse 1, verse 7, verse 8 tells us time and time again to observe, to do. It's really time for a generation of Christ followers to do what God commands, even if it's uncomfortable, unpopular, or unprofitable. You see, the problem with most of us is we're all for it as long as we're comfortable, as long as it's popular, and as long as it's profitable. We make that the criteria on whether or not we're going to follow God, on whether or not we're going to obey God, on whether or not we're going to do what he tells us to do. We want to know in the end that it's going to be something that is comfortable, something that's going to be popular. People are going to say, yeah, I like that. I want that. We're going to be popular because we're Christian, and it's going to be profitable. The whole method of, or mentality of health, wealth, and prosperity. The first aspect of Christian practice is being. New life, rebirth, leads to new thoughts and right action. Paul says, walk worthy of your calling. If your steps are ordered by God, then why do they look like non-believers? If God is the one calling the shots, why do we think like, act like, talk like, listen to, watch, and do what the world does? Because God and this world are diametrically opposed. Anybody would admit that. The Christian life is diametrically opposed to everything this world proponents. But as Christians, we continue to run after it. We continue to pursue it. We continue to try to grasp onto it. Meditation does not mean theoretical speculation about the law, such as the Pharisees indulged in, but a practical study of the law for the purpose of observing it in thought and action and carrying it out with the heart, the mouth, and the hand. Such a mode of employing it would be sure to be followed by blessing. A popular way to say that our practice as believers is we don't fight for victory, but from victory. Our practice of victory, the words that we speak. Let me ask you, what kind of words have you been talking? What kind of words have been coming out of your mouth? When you get together with so-and-so and here or there, what kind of words are you using? Are you using words that encourage? Are you using words that build up? Are you using words that believe the best about somebody and encourage people? Or are you tearing people down? Are you discouraging them? Are you building up? Are you tearing down? Are they words of faith? Or are they words of fear? Can I encourage you to stop muttering what you see and start muttering what God has said? The words you speak, the way that you give. Is your giving of your time, your talent, and your treasures dependent on anything horizontal, or is it only dependent on that which is vertical? Do you serve God because he is worthy of it? Or do you serve God because of what's going on around us? Because so-and-so is going to do it, and so-and-so is going to do it. As long as so-and-so's there, I'm in. Listen, it's easy to serve God when it fits our agenda. But when things get a little rough, sometimes we say, you know what, I think I'm just, you know, I'm done. It's not what I want. Listen, your service ought to be always, always dependent on your relationship with God. I serve God, no one else. And I serve to be seen of God and no one else. Let me ask you, how are you giving? Are you giving like God gave? Are you giving like God gave? Are you giving like God wants to give? The words you speak, the way you go, the way you give and the way you go. Observe to what? Do. Do. Ephesians 2:15, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Listen, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me ask you, what good works do we have before us? I'm here to tell you, God has so much planned and prepared for you and I. We have to step toward victory. As God told us to go, be strong and very courageous. Some people are going to think what we're doing is for our reputation. Some people are going to think we're insane. How do we become strong and courageous? Remember the promises of God. He will be with us. No man will be able to stand against us all of our days. Joshua had seen the giant. He had seen the fortified city, but his focus was on the living God. Courage and strength come from experiencing the promise of God in practice in your daily life. Only when you bring your life in line with your faith are you a believer. One commentator said, it has been and never will be about being acceptable to God by what we do. However, I have to ask, if the life and light of God has been placed in you, where is the desire to please your Father with your good works? Let me ask you this question. What obstacles and barriers are you facing stepping toward victory in Christ at Bible Baptist Church? What individual barriers? Corporate barriers? The life of faith is not perfect, but it is powerful and it is purposeful. The life of faith always pushes and presses toward God's mission, towards being used of God to enlarge the kingdom of God. One person said it this way, it is impossible to stand still in Christian life and service. For when you stand still, you immediately start going backwards. God's challenge to his church is to move forward in faith with our eyes focused and fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. Do you believe God's got big things in store for you? Do you believe God's got big things in store for Bible Baptist Church? I do. I believe that with all of my heart. That's why the doors are still open. Will you be strong and very courageous and follow him? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time together this morning for Sunday school. I pray your blessing on your word as it's been preached. I pray that you would teach us and, Lord, help us to understand and live by these truths. May we not be just hearers of the word, but doers also, and we'll thank you for it. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen.